You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Not even supposed to be here today.
Brian O'Halloran, you might know me from such iconic nerd films as Clerks and Clerks 2 and Vulgar and Brutal Massacre. Anyway, you're listening to the Flopcast with Kevin and Cornflake right here.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 295.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
This show's coming out New Year's Eve.
Yep. Last show of 2017.
This is definitely our last show of 2017, yes. And I think we're doing like a year in review kind of a show.
Yeah.
Let's look back on what we've done.
It sounds like a good idea, yeah. But I just wanted to know, how were your holidays?
Oh, we're still in the holidays.
It's true. But how have they been going for you so far?
It's fine. It's good. I don't think I've made too many mistakes. I've made some mistakes. Yeah. My main responsibility during the holidays is to watch all the Christmas cartoons. And I haven't seen all of them this year. But I saw a lot.
That's fair.
Yeah. It's hard to get them all in. There's so many of them. How'd you do? Did you see any Christmas cartoons?
Yeah, some. Yeah. We also watched The Muppet Family Christmas a couple of times.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did not see that one this year. You saw that a couple of times this year? Wow. I never watched the same one twice in one year, I don't think.
I don't know what got into me.
Yeah.
Too much nog, I think.
still too much nog.
I was trying to keep myself up with watching movies on Christmas Eve. I was waiting and waiting, Kevin, but, you know, Robillard never did come down my chimney with earth fruit, so...
That's the dream.
I guess next year I need to be a better cornflake.
We're in a different studio right now. I don't know if the acoustics sound different to the listeners, but we're trying out a different... So we're still in the Chickentown Studios complex, but this is like Studio D, I think, or E.
I like to call it the Blue Room.
I've lost count. It is blue in here, so it's weird.
It is a little.
It's weird for us. We'll see how it goes. So as we leap into this stupid New Year's Eve show, let's do this. Do you have New Year's Eve plans, by the way? We're a few days in advance as we record. Are you someone who goes out and does something on New Year's Eve?
Every year I plan to do something, and every year I decide I'd rather just stay home.
I think that's the right move. That is my plan. I'm with you.
Every once in a while I can get in my car if it's not too terribly cold, and it has been frigid lately.
It's miserably cold today.
If it's not too cold, I'll drive to the nearest beach that has a firework display and watch the fireworks over the ocean. And they do them because it gets dark early. They do them so early in the evening that you can go out and do that at 7:30 or 8:30 at night and be home before all the crazies are on the road.
That's pretty good. But yeah, I really try not to leave the house, well, ever, but especially New Year's Eve.
I feel so bad because usually somebody's invited me to a party and I go, yeah, that's great. And at the last minute, I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But, you know, we go out and do goofy stuff all the time, all year.
It's true.
So I say that's our night off.
It's a good way to look at it.
Stay home, absolutely. Just flop over and do nothing. It's pretty wonderful. So we're going to get into sort of a year in review kind of thing. But how about, this is episode 295. Do you have something for National Whatever Day for 1995?
National Whatever Day!
When I thought back to 1995, Kevin, I'm sad to say that there was really only one thing I could think of.
Mm.
And that was the Macarena.
Was that 95?
It was.
Okay. Because I feel like that really didn't get going until 96.
But that's when it came out.
Okay.
It was 95. But thankfully, that's not what we're going to discuss.
Oh, good.
So I did a little bit of research. Yeah. I don't want to sit here and talk about the Macarena.
We did discuss that.
We did. We've done this.
We did a show early this year about the music of 1996.
Yeah.
And it may have come out in 95, but 96 was the year
peaked
that all that
96.
Nonsense was happening. And I remember it all too well. Well, what are we actually discussing then?
Okay, the advent of online dating.
Interesting. That started in 95?
It feels like online dating has been a thing forever. It's probably because prior to that, you had the classifieds in the newspaper. You had you had lunch dates, that service where you'd make your video of yourself. And not that I ever did any of these things, but I always saw them on TV.
Yeah. And there was computer dating, even pre-internet. It'd be like a sitcom plot. People would go get a computer date. But even that was like you go to a weird office and they feed your information into a Commodore VIC-20. And then it sets you up with Schneider.
Sets you up with Pac-Man.
Yes.
Oh, wait, no, that's playing a video game.
So internet dating started in
1995 with Match.com.
Okay.
Was the first one.
Yeah, I've heard of that one. That's a big one, right?
Still around.
Still around? Okay.
Yep.
But the kids use it, or have they moved on to other stranger things?
I haven't asked the kids. Yeah. I do know some 20-somethings that do use Match.com. Mm. They've enhanced their services over the years.
I would think. I mean, 1995, there were about 622 people on the internet.
Right.
So they all dated.
The computer geeks are the only ones getting dates online. Oh, yeah. Now there are all kinds of online dating services.
Yeah, yeah. And the apps, people have those things on their phone, right, where you look at people who are in your vicinity. I've never used a dating website or a dating app. That's all after my time. So I don't know the details, the grisly, gruesome details of how this all works.
I wrote a song about dating online.
Yes, yes.
If I had a dating profile.
Yes. Your Bare Naked Ladies parody song. I remember it well. Now, you weren't internet dating in 95, were you?
Oh, heck no. I was still writing notes, circle yes or no.
Oh, yeah. Old school. Sure. That's a good system.
Folding them into little triangles.
Yes.
And, yeah. That sort of thing.
That worked. That still works.
Yeah.
Just hand triangles to people. What could go wrong? All right. That was 1995, but we must move forward, Cornflake. Mm-hmm. And look backward, because we're going to look back at 2017. This was a busy year for the Flopcast.
It was. Particularly for you, I would say, you know, at least in the convention realm.
I think I went to a lot more conventions than you did this year.
This year?
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Last year you went to all the conventions. You spent the whole year hitting conventions month after month. So you scaled back drastically this year, which is fine.
But I was living the dream in terms of concerts.
We both went to a lot of concerts, yeah. So let's look at this. Conventions, yeah, we go to a lot of conventions, obviously. We cover a lot of conventions for the show, all those little nerd fests that you and I run around at. It's entirely possible that I missed something here, because I put about 4 minutes of effort into putting this list together.
Mm-hmm.
But assuming I didn't miss anything, I think we went to 11 conventions in 2017.
That's a lot.
Almost one a month.
Yeah.
Starting with Aresia. We're going to talk about Aresia at the end of the show, because Aresia is coming around again as we head into January. But we started the year. I went to Aresia. I was on a panel at Aresia this year for the first time. Like, this was my first time actually doing something officially at Boston's big science fiction convention. The mayor of Chickentown, Felicity, every year she goes out to Gallifrey One, the big Doctor Who convention in Los Angeles. So she was there again this year. You went out to MarsCon.
I went to Minnesota, yeah.
Once again, and I've missed the last 2-3 MarsCons. I've been very delinquent. But you were there, and this was an exciting year at MarsCon because Judy Tenuta was there.
Yes, I got to meet Judy Tenuta.
Wow. The MarsCon Dementia Comedy Music Guest of Honor, Judy Tenuta.
She was fantastic.
Did she have the accordion?
She did.
Oh, man.
And the flower in the hair.
Yes. Yeah, I love seeing the pictures of Judy with everybody. I'm sorry I wasn't there, but I'm sure glad that you got to go out there, represent the show once again. We have so many friends at MarsCon, and MarsCon's coming around again, too, right?
It's true.
We'll be plugging MarsCon in the coming weeks, I'm sure. We had the Boston South Coast Comic-Con, as it's called now, formerly the Northeast Comic-Con. That's the one at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Summers, that guy from the Antiques Roadshow, he broke into an abandoned JCPenney at the Hanover Mall in the south coast of Massachusetts and started a comics convention there. And he put on a few shows there this year. I went to a couple of them, which was cool. Back in the spring, he had Adam West and Burt Ward there. That was one of Adam West's final public appearances, I think. Then there was a summer version as well that Mickey Dolenz was there and Billy West was there. So that was a fun show as well. Then we had Super Mega Fest.
Oh, yeah.
And they do two of those a year as well. So the Spring Super Mega Fest, that was the big one for us because that's where, you may recall, I had my final showdown with Greg Brady himself.
Yes.
Barry Williams was at Super Mega Fest, and I happen to have co-written a song called Greg Brady Wants Me Dead.
And he knew about it.
Yeah, that was the shock of that meeting, when we actually met for the first time ever. I'd never met any Bradys. But yeah, when I did go up and meet Greg Brady himself, Barry Williams, and I showed him the Sponge Awareness record, and I said, my band made this song about you, and he knew the song. He was familiar with the song. He didn't say he liked it, nope. But he said he knew it.
And he looked fabulous, because that man knows how to dress.
Oh, he was completely decked out in a goofy 70s-style costume. And yeah, man, that was fun meeting an actual Brady. And then at the Fall Super Mega Fest, I went to the Fall version as well. And the Bionic Man and the Bionic Woman were there, Lindsay Wagner and Lee Majors. And I met Paul Soles there. That was the voice of Hermie the Elf.
Yes.
And I did, even though I missed some Christmas cartoons this year, we did watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, of course, the classic first Rankin-Bass animated cartoon.
I forget that that's the first one. I got that one in, too. I can't miss that one.
It's the first Rankin-Bass. The first full-length animated Christmas special is Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol.
Right.
So that was 1962. The first Rankin-Bass was Rudolph, yeah. And that was in 64. But yeah, I met Paul Soles at Fall Super Mega Fest, the voice of Hermie the Elf.
And when he talks in a normal voice, can you imagine him talking like Hermie?
Not really, no. I would have had no idea. Plus, this is like an 80-something-year-old man. And he was in the costume, though. He was dressed like a little elf with the... With the, with the no, he was...
Oh, come on. You totally had me there.
No. Wow. No, they didn't really dress him up like an elf.
Stop it.
Wouldn't that have been something?
Gullible.
He could have been in a Spider-Man costume as well, because he was also the voice of Spider-Man on the 1960s Spider-Man cartoon. But for my purposes, though, I was so excited to meet Hermie the Elf. And it did make it more special this year watching the cartoon. And when Hermie speaks, and you're thinking, wow, I just met that guy.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? I went to Convergence this summer.
So you did make it out to Minnesota.
Same neighborhood as MarsCon, same town, Bloomington, Minnesota. You were there in March for MarsCon, and I was out there in July for Convergence. And I was busy at Convergence this year. They had me on a bunch of panels, and that was cool. I made a little side trip off-site from the convention to see that giant...
Big blue chicken?
Giant blue chicken statue. And I did a panel about the Star Wars holiday special. And I made some friends right there on the panel. My friend Amanda was dressed up like Bea Arthur. So that made that a very, very special event. Convergence, always very cool. I'm hoping to get back in 2018. We will see. Dragon Con, of course, was the big one for us. That's our monster crazy convention of the year. And yeah, go back and listen to our Dragon Con show if you want to hear everything that happened down there. We also played the Wonder Woman panel on the show, right? Because I did a panel about the Wonder Woman movie, which we played here on the Flopcast. So you can also go back and listen to that if you missed it. Check it out. We might play one or two more panels from Dragon Con here on the Flopcast. I've got a couple more on reserve that perhaps over the course of 2018 we might drop those in at some point. So listen for those.
Neato.
My Howard the Duck defense was one of the other highlights of DragonCon. I had to present my case in defense of the 1980s Howard the Duck movie. Did not go well.
But you still ended up...
I was vindicated in the end, yeah.
Winning the case, yes.
Yeah, the judge threw out the decision of the jury. And against the will of the people, ruled in favor of Howard the Duck. So it all worked out.
And then didn't you wind up seeing somebody in a Howard the Duck costume?
Oh yeah, the movie version of Howard the Duck. Got to meet actual Howard the Duck later that same day. It was magical. Things are always crazy at Dragon Con. And then I went back to Granite State Comic Con, which you and I went to a few years ago. You smashed all your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You had a horrible, weird accident at Granite State Comic Con a few years back. Mr. T was involved. It was very strange.
I still have opportunities from time to time to tell that story. It usually starts with, oh, you don't know that about me yet? Yeah, I totally broke my teeth on Mr. T's bling.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were not quite ready to go back to Granite State Comic Con.
No.
I finally went back. I was ready to go back, and it was fun. Saw a bunch of old friends there. Lots of crazy people running around, of course, up there in your old home state of New Hampshire. And then also this past fall, I believe, Felicity, the mayor of Chickentown, also went to another Doctor Who convention, L.I. Who, the Long Island Doctor Who convention. I don't think we ever even talked about it on the show.
I'm not sure we did.
I don't think we did.
this isn't ringing a bell.
Well, it's on the list. We went to that one as well, between the three of us here on Team Flopcast. So I think those are the 11 conventions we went to. But where we're completely out of control is with concerts and shows and stuff.
Oh, yes.
I probably missed some, but I tried to make a list. What kind of shows did we go to this year, you and I? And you went to more than I realized. I thought it was me going to all these concerts, but you're just as bad as me.
This is my year.
It's really for the best that we're staying home New Year's Eve, because we got out quite a bit this year, starting way back in January. Well, it was the ACLU benefit concert after the Women's March, and that was with Petty Morals, one of my very favorite local rock bands, and Stars Like Ours were there, and Carissa Johnson. I went to see Richard Marx down in Woonsocket, my old stomping grounds, and there's Richard Marx, remember?
Yes.
That was crazy.
Playing all the things you want to hear.
He played all the hits, all the Richard Marx hits.
He's like, I know what you want, and I'm going to give it to you.
Yes, and man, he did. I went to see the Mads, that is Frank Conniff and Trace Beaulieu from Mystery Science Theater. They're touring together, riffing movies live at theaters, a theater near you. They're still out there. Watch for the Mads. They're coming around again. You won a radio contest and got tickets to Dar Williams.
And we went.
And you took me.
That's one of my favorite memories of 2017.
I ended up seeing Dar a couple times at least this year. I saw Dar do another thing that I think we didn't even talk about on the show, but she has a book out. I think I have it right here.
Oh, look at that.
Look at that. Dar made a book called What I Found in 1,000 Towns, A Traveling Musician's Guide to Rebuilding America's Communities. Because she's just been on the road for the last 25 years or so. And she's seen like what works and what doesn't work and how people build their communities and stuff. And she wrote a whole book about it.
That's so cool.
But we went to see her. She did like a talk and also played some songs and stuff. It was like a special little book tour show that she did. You and I, though, went to the full-scale Dar Williams show because you were listening to the radio.
Right, and I won tickets, and it was, I think it was right after we talked about...
Yeah, it was the following week. We did a Flopcast episode about...
calling into radio shows.
About how we used to have to get concert tickets back in the day.
As one of the ways that you could get
trying
tickets.
Trying to call the radio station, and then you did it like a few days later. That would never happen to me, because I had not listened to the radio in several years.
Yeah, I was listening to a college radio station where they're playing experimental noise, and I remember the announcer saying, I'm pretty sure that nobody listening right now would want Dar Williams tickets. And I thought to myself, that's where you're wrong. First time at the Cabot for me.
Yeah, it was a nice theater. I ended up going to that theater two more times this past year. I went to another ACLU benefit show that was our friend Ken Reed from TV Guidance Counselor hosted this crazy show at the Paradise with Belly and Juliana Hatfield and Nada Surf and Evan Dando and a whole bunch of other people. There's a new Belly record on the way this year.
Yeah.
Belly's back for real. Then I went to the Women in Comedy Festival and a couple of shows. I went back-to-back nights, I think, because our friend Nikki Luparelli was one of the performers. Sashir Zameda was at one of these shows from Saturday Night Live, formerly from Saturday Night Live. She ended up leaving the show this year. So, yeah, that was cool seeing her do some improv in person. I think one of those was also an ACLU benefit show. I went to several ACLU benefit shows this year, which is good.
Yes. You can't hear me nodding on the podcast when I am. I'm nodding my head. Yes, this is a very, very good thing.
That was one of several organizations it was very important to support this year, and so we tried to. The mayor and I went to see Amy Mann in Boston, and Jonathan Coulton was opening. I went to see Katie Curtis, of course, local folk favorite of ours. A big one for me was Midnight Oil.
Oh, yeah.
Midnight Oil.
The show I almost got to go to.
Yeah, you almost ended up going there, too. And this was Midnight Oil had not toured in like 15, 16 years, but they finally came back just when we needed them most. We really need Midnight Oil right now. How about Ben Folds? He's one of yours.
Oh, yes. What a show.
So Ben with the Boston Pops.
Yes. So good.
This is the full orchestra, right?
Yes.
Is there a guy with a bassoon?
There probably
was. There better have been a bassoon. Did somebody have the triangle?
I'm pretty sure there was a triangle.
Yeah. As long as there's a bassoon and a triangle.
Yes.
Everybody else can stay home. I went to another Petty Morals show. You haven't seen them yet live, have you?
I'm not.
I haven't heard their music, but we haven't gotten you to a live Petty Morals show yet. Yeah, we saw them with Go Betty Go and with the Dolly Rots. And the Dolly Rots I've really gotten into this year. They've been around a long time, and they've been on my radar, but I really started listening to a lot of Dolly Rots this year, and they're so crazy fun. How about Jim's Big Ego?
Yes, the house concert.
That was one of those weird house concerts where you go into some stranger's private home and they're hosting a concert.
And that's where I also found out that Jim Infantino has been writing a novel, which right. I think is now available outside of Patreon. I've been meaning to read it, so I need to...
The book is out.
Yes, I need to look into that.
I went up to the Tupelo Music Hall up in New Hampshire to see Joan Osborne, who's one of my very favorites, of course. And Joan put out a record this year of all Bob Dylan covers. And the show was just all Bob Dylan covers. And it's great, because I'm not a big Dylan guy. But
she makes it sound good.
Yeah, she made it work. I figured out how to appreciate Dylan. I just need Joan singing instead of Bob. Then it's fine. We went to a cidery where they make apple cider to see the Great Molasses Flood.
Mm-hmm.
That's the band that includes our old friend Kim Jennings. Meanwhile, you were at a very rainy night at Fenway Park.
Yes, for Paula Abdul.
All your 90s heroes.
Boys to Men. And the New Kids on the Block.
At Fenway Park, in the rain.
Yes, and the rain stopped just in time for New Kids on the Block.
Oh, that's good.
What a show
They will
was.
Melt. Like in The Wizard of Oz, right? Those boys cannot get wet.
I think...
It's in their contract.
Yeah. I don't believe Boston can lay claim to either Boys to Men or Paula Abdul, but New Kids on the Block are Boston boys.
Those were Boston kids, absolutely.
So the rain over Fenway just had to let it go down. I do remember there being quite a rain delay and Paula Abdul having to get off of stage because of it.
Right. But that cartoon cat that she sings with, the cat got to stay on stage.
Right.
Yeah. Cat was not afraid of the rain.
He's an alley cat. He can handle that sort of thing.
Of course.
Yeah.
Our friend Nikki Luparelli did one of her big tribute shows this year. A new one, I think. She did a show called The Blonde Side of the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
It was her Pink Floyd tribute show. It was super fun. Another favorite of yours was Mark with a C.
Yes. I got to see Mark with a C for the first time at MarsCon back in March, where I have to admit, I racked up a lot of my year's concerts at that one weekend because I was there seeing Judy Tenuta, Library
that's
Bards,
a whole weekend
the Great Lukeski,
comedy music concerts,
TV's Kyle, Devo's Spice, but Mark with a C was new to me, and I didn't see any concert events locally, but what he did do was a webcast concert where you could sit in the comfort of your own home, and I did, with my dog on my lap, and we watched Mark with a C together, and oh, that was a cool,
cool show. Concert.
I'm a big fan of Concert Window. I am loving that.
Interesting. He does a lot of Monkees covers, too. He did a whole album, didn't he? I think he did an album of Monkees covers.
I'm fairly certain.
Including some relatively obscure stuff.
And the influence is clear on his
songs. He wears the hat like Mike Nesmith. Very, very clearly influenced by the Monkees. I went down to Philadelphia with Ken Reed, remember? From TV Guidance Counselor?
Drove down and then drove back.
Yeah. I don't remember the details, if it was an abduction or what happened and how I ended up in Ken's car. But yeah, we went down to Philadelphia. Ken did a live TV Guidance Counselor as part of the Philly Pod Fest, and then we just drove straight back up.
What an adventure.
It's a testament to how little I have to do. I will just get in your car and go to Philadelphia. Let that be a warning to all of you. You went back to the Paradise Rock Club, where I went several times this year. You were there for the Aquabats.
Yes, and Reggie in the Full Effect, and I got to see a Ramon.
You saw an actual Ramon opening for the Aquabats. Was CJ Ramon.
Yes.
Wow.
What a night.
And I've seen CJ Ramon as well. That's a fun show. It's practically a Ramon show.
Yes, it's essentially, if you closed your eyes, you'd believe you were at a Ramon show.
But CJ was their bassist for the last several years of the Ramon's career.
I've had the great fortune of seeing the Aquabats a number of times now, and they always have a rollicking good time on stage. They put on a really fun show, and this was...
I just wish they wouldn't take themselves so seriously. Yeah, you know, lighten up.
Particularly MC Bat Commander. We have friends that have seen them for the first time this year. I've been watching as the great Lukeski and Carrie Dalby have been discovering Aquabats concerts for the first time, and it's
sure.
like... You finally know what the magic is all about.
Buddies from Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. They are also fans. I saw Nikki Luparelli again. I think this was like the middle of the summer. She did a show at the Planetarium at the Boston Museum of Science.
Such an awesome show.
Well, yeah, it's Nikki and her band, the big full band, plus they were just projecting all the crazy, freaky imagery on the big, weird planetarium ceiling, you know? I think she's doing that again. It might be the Pink Floyd show. I think she might be doing Blonde Side of the Moon at the planetarium.
Okay, this time I need to not miss it.
That might be one to watch for. I went down to Providence to see Elvis Costello and the Imposters. Elvis was touring in a celebration of his old Imperial Bedroom album from 1982. That was cool. I love Elvis. I saw Petty Morals again, also this summer. This is my third Petty Morals show of the year, but this time they were playing with Electro Domestico, which is a new techno-pop sort of a duo, including Jane Wiedland from the Go-Go's.
Nifty.
Yeah, and Petty Morals, they worship the Go-Go's. they do Go-Go's covers.
That's like a dream show for them.
Yeah, that it really was. And they got to play together at the end. Like they backed her up doing some Go-Go's songs. It was really far away. That was in Plymouth.
Quite the drive.
Yeah, like where the Pilgrims were, you know.
For a school night, as it were.
I think we also went way down to Providence again for the Retro Futura tour, also in the middle of the week, I think, this past summer.
And you get to see Howard Jones again.
This was Howard Jones headlining. It was a bunch of like wacky old 80s acts. It was Howard Jones, Katrina from Katrina and the Waves, Paul Young, Modern English, The English Beat, and my favorite, Men Without Hats.
Mm-hmm.
They packed six acts into a three-hour show, rushing them off the stage as soon as they got on. It was quick. But they're doing that again this coming year. New lineup. I'm looking forward to seeing who they got for the Retro Futura tour. Because, yeah, if you just want to see a whole bunch of 80s acts, it's a really good, really quick way to pack a bunch of them into one crazy night. All right, that brings us to Air Supply.
It does.
You finally got to see Air Supply for the first time.
I'll never forget.
You thought I was crazy being an Air Supply fan all these years.
And we didn't see.
I was, but now you are too.
Crazy, but I didn't totally understand, and now I do. I still can't believe Russell touched my cheek.
You were literally touched by Air Supply.
It was unreal. Those guys rock so much.
I was back up at that Cabot Theater where we saw Dar to see the Bacon Brothers.
Yes. Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon.
Jamming.
And his brother.
Is his brother Michael Bacon?
Yes. Good call.
I was paying attention. So
you know all the Bacon brothers.
I do.
It's like, yeah, all right, cool. You're seeing a movie star. That's fun. But they're a great band. Very pleasantly surprised by the Bacon brothers. I think while I was creeping around Dragon Con, you were driving and shuttling everybody to go see They Might Be Giants at a big outdoor festival show.
It was far more of an adventure than I planned for it to be, but
taxiing around everybody you knew.
And some people I didn't even know.
Total strangers, why not? They said, so is this like Uber or Lyft? We're paying you for this? No, no, just get in.
It is the cornflake car. As I look back on that, it's just overwhelmingly positive day. And, They Might Be Giants put on a fun, fun outdoor show.
Then I think the following weekend, right after that, I was back from Dragon Con. I went back to the Cabot Theater for the third time this year, but for Mickey Dolenz.
Solo show.
This was Mickey, well, not technically solo, because he had his band with him. But
including Coco.
Yes, his sister Coco was there, but Mickey was the only monkey on the stage. But still playing almost all Monkey songs, of course. And the word is, there's going to be another Monkeys tour in 2018.
Oh, wow.
This could be completely wrong, but what I hear is a Monkeys tour in 2018, and it's not Mickey and Peter. It's Mickey and Mike.
No way.
How about that?
Oh, that's going to be one to see.
If they come anywhere near me, I will go see Mickey and Mike. Absolutely. I saw some old friends of mine do a show a little while back. That's Sean and Adam Fullerton, veterans of my old open mic night back in the 90s. And hadn't seen those guys in years, so that was cool. Oh, Eddie from Ohio. That was another big one for you.
Yes.
Back down to Rhode Island you go.
See them at the Greenwich Odeon.
Yes.
Oh, they were good.
Of course. I know you love Eddie from Ohio, but then that wasn't the only big concert that week for you, because you also went up to New Hampshire with Doornail.
To see Janet Jackson.
For Janet.
She's a legend.
Oh, sure. From Different Strokes. You know I'm mostly a fan of her Different Strokes work.
What else was she in?
She was in Fame.
That's true.
She was in Good Times.
There was a movie. What movie was she in? It was in the 90s. I can't remember.
Jaws.
That's it. Yeah, that's the one.
She played the shark. I went to a whole bunch of Letters to Cleo shows all in a row.
Yes. Like it was your job.
I would report it to work, standing there seeing Letters to Cleo and Blake Babies every night for 3 nights straight. That was interesting. We went to see Squeeze, favorite of Felicity's. They were good. Another classic 80s pop band. More Nikki Lucarelli and the Gold Diggers. Went back to her David Bowie tribute shows Thanksgiving weekend. Walter Sickert and the Army of Broken Toys went to their Nightmare Before Christmas tribute show. We went to one of Matthew Dick's storytelling shows again, Speak Up, down in Connecticut, and took advantage of the opportunity to also meet Kevin the Turkey, a turkey who became famous for wandering around Wethersfield, Connecticut. So that was a lovely day.
And you met him just in the nick of time.
We met Kevin on Saturday, and then, like, I think it was the following Wednesday, he was captured and driven out of town. But released to a safer area. So right. Kevin the Turkey, as far as we know, is having a fine turkey life. Saw the Regrets.
E-T-T-E.
Yeah, the Regrets, but R-E-G-R-E-T-T-E-S. And they're just crazy fun kind of punk rock pop stuff. They're a band to watch. The Regrets, fun to see them live. And that brings us all the way up to last night. As we record. Because it was freezing cold out, but the mayor and I went back into Boston last night for a weird night at a goofy little rock club. It was a band called Semplica performed, and then a lady named Lindsay Starr, and she was very good. And actually, playing guitar alongside Lindsay Starr was Carissa Johnson, who was at that Petty Morals ACLU show that we went to way back at the beginning of the year. There's Carissa again, and Carissa Johnson, I've really become a fan of. Got her album, and yeah, she's great. You know, they do that Rock and Roll Rumble in Boston every year. It's like a tournament of local bands. Carissa Johnson this year won.
Nice.
Yeah, she won the Boston Rock and Roll Rumble, so it was nice to see Carissa last night. The Party Boys were there. Remember the Party Boys?
How could I forget?
And that's boys, B-O-I-S.
Ever since I've heard of them, I've been trying to get on the guest list.
That's our favorite Party Boys song, is Guest List, in which they scream, I like to drink, I like to party, I'm on the guest list.
Yes.
And they actually did not do that song last night. They have so many really good songs that they didn't even do their signature song.
Oh, wow.
Guest List. Yeah, they have an album on the way. I think later this coming year, there's going to be a full-length Party Boys album. But they're great. They're super fun, very 80s sounding, and some of their stuff even sounds kind of like Prince. I talked to one of the Party Boys last night, one of their front men, his name's Keith. I think we might try to talk to him on the show.
That would be fun.
Yeah, see if we can work that out. Get a Party Boy on the Flapcast.
I'd like that.
And headlining last night was an act called Sean Drinkwater and Fire.
Oh.
Now, Sean Drinkwater is a member of Freeze Pop.
Yes.
And a member of Lifestyle. His new romantic side project band. This was Sean Drinkwater and Fire, and we didn't know what in the world that meant.
Yeah, I've never heard of this before.
But there we were. Well, Fire, it turns out, was not a backup band, but a guy.
Oh.
A guy who looked suspiciously
like Fire.
Like Freeze Pop drummer Bananas Foster wearing a weird, like, red superhero costume.
Oh.
That was Fire.
I see.
And Liz was there also from Freeze Pop. And so at one point, there were three members of Freeze Pop. Three out of the four were on stage together, but it was not Freeze Pop. They were doing their own weird thing last night. They did do a couple of Freeze Pop songs. It was very goofy. It was very strange.
That sounds like fun.
It was Sean Drinkwater and Fire.
Neato.
But it's the closest we got to a Freeze Pop concert this year, because Freeze Pop, of course, one of our very favorite synth pop bands, and yikes, we love them, but they've been laying low this year. They're working on their new record. So that brings us up to today. I have one more show, though. By the time the show comes out, I will have been out at another show this coming weekend.
My goodness.
We're going one more time out into the world to see, for the fourth time this year. We started the year with them. We're going to finish the year with them. Petty Morals.
Sweet.
Doing another show in Cambridge in just a couple of days as we record. So that's why I'm not going out New Year's Eve. Cornflake. I think we've been out enough.
Time to take a little break.
And when we don't go out, look, we're doing this. We're recording this goofy show.
It's true.
Because we've been very busy just doing the Flopcast this year. The Flopcast in 2017 turned 5 years old.
That was fun.
That was way back in May. So now we're closing in on 6 years now.
And this was the year that we had episode 251.
Our big episode 251. That's in my notes right here. See that?
Oh.
Because that was the big one. That's like the milestone episode number all podcasts aspire to reach because it's the best number.
Right.
And we did it this year. We hit 251. We had a big celebration.
You had a cake.
You brought a cake. You had a 251 cake with three candles on it. Shaped like numbers.
It's hardly enough room for the three candles on the cake.
It was a small cake, very large candles, which is perfect. Episode 251 was very exciting. You kind of guided us through the year with your New Year's resolution for 2017 was a podcast a month. You were going to discover a new podcast that you could recommend to our listeners, and you did that. Every single month all year.
I kept my New Year's resolution. Now if I can only hula hoop. And I hope I inspired other people to do the same, to check out what podcasts are available and find something new to listen to.
Well, we certainly inspired people to learn about High Feather as well this
yes,
year.
Yes, we did.
This was the year of High Feather for the Flopcast, in which we begged and pleaded and tricked our listeners into watching this stupid, goofy old show from the early 80s. Which I'm strangely obsessed with, about a bunch of kids at summer camp. And yeah, we spent 10 episodes this summer reviewing each episode of High Feather.
And despite some initial reluctance, by the time the last episode was coming up, I was not the only one that was sad when we get to episode 10 and there wasn't going to be any more.
Everybody loved it. I feel like we might have built up such a renewed interest in the show that maybe they'll bring it back.
I wonder what a rebooted High Feather in 2018 would look like.
They do that a lot now. A lot of shows come back. They'll be gone for years or decades, and then they come back. So why can't High Feather do that?
It'd be computer animated.
Yes, it's going to be a lot of CGI. One of the real highlights for me was the return of Robolar.
Yes.
Because one of the things we're sort of obsessed with around here is Robolar. Classical PSA from the Boston area, a Martian who teaches you about eating healthy earth fruit instead of candy bars. And listeners of the Flopcast, Tom and his sister Tree, brought back Robolar this year. They created their own new Robolar video and shared it with us. And it was one of the most beautiful things that's ever happened.
Our wildest dreams came true.
A new Robolar video happened in 2017.
And it involved a shopping cart.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, Robolar is in a shopping cart rolling through a supermarket. It was absolutely incredible. We have a link to it on our YouTube page, which we set up mostly for High Feather purposes. But I think we also linked to the Robolar video, both the old classic Robolar and the new Robolar video. You can link to from the Flopcast YouTube page also. So that was absolutely a highlight. How about that Love Boat script?
When we ever opened that. Oh.
That was a highlight as well. And we got a lot of cool stuff. People send us stuff, which is not the only reason we do the show, but the main reason.
Right.
But we do occasionally get some lovely gift items.
As I recall, it started fairly early in the year.
Remember this? We've got this beautiful print.
Yes.
That was sent to us, right? Jacob, singer-songwriter Jacob Haller, sent us this gorgeous print of a wind-up robot with a rubber chicken.
So cute.
Our friend Kate Shaw from the Strange Animals podcast sent us a book about He-Man.
Yeah.
And the Masters of the Universe.
And she drew a beautiful picture on the inside cover.
But yeah, we're certainly obsessed with all 80s pop culture stuff. And now we've got a whole book about He-Man that was written by a friend of hers. Look at this, by the way. I've got it. Speaking of Kate Shaw, I have a new book by Kate Shaw right here.
Wow.
See that?
And she's still going strong with her podcast, Strange Animals.
Oh, yeah. Strange Animals podcast every week. But this is her new book, Skytown. I have not read it yet, but I have a copy of it right here. So check that out, everybody, also. But the craziest thing of all, of course, was Ed, my old partner from Sponge Awareness Foundation, that I wrote that song with, Greg Beatty Wants Me Dead. Ed sent us an autographed Love Boat script.
And we went right out of our minds.
This year, and I still have not gotten over it. And also, speaking of books, I'm in a book.
Yeah, that's true.
The new ESO book, Earth Station 1, Tales of the Station, Volume 2. This is our podcast network, of course. ESO published another book this year, a book of short stories, and I contributed one of the stories to this book. And you can get this book. It's on Amazon.
Can and should.
You should. You
yes.
Go to ESOpodcast.com, you click over to Amazon, and buy whatever you want. Support the network. And also, get the book, Earth Station 1, Tales of the Station, Volume 2. a whole bunch of very cool, very fun short stories are in it, and including one is by me, and it just might involve a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, for the new year, I don't think we've ever mentioned the name of my story.
Oh, yeah, we have not done that.
Do you know the name of the story?
I don't know.
You don't even know it. We've ordered copies of the book. We've got copies on the way. But let's reveal right now.
Okay.
The name of my story is High Feathers.
That makes me happy.
And now you can just speculate as much as you like.
That makes me so happy.
What in the world kind of story did I write? Yeah, so I guess we've been busy. We've been busy with silly, ridiculous things, but we've been busy nonetheless.
It's the best way to be busy.
All right, but that's enough of this year. Let's look ahead.
Okay.
We mentioned your New Year's resolution already, but now let's talk New Year's resolutions for the new year. Because we've done this the last several years on the show.
All right. Well, I'm curious to hear what yours is.
I'm curious to hear what yours is as well. I was working on mine all week, and I think I have it. But let's start with you.
Okay.
Because everybody really looks forward every year to hearing what in the world your freaky New Year's resolution is going to be. What's it going to be for 2018?
I've lost track of how many times people have said to me, Cornflake, I can't believe you haven't seen that movie. It happens to me frequently. I guess I was just living under a rock for far too many years before I decided that I wanted to discuss pop culture on a podcast. So what I have decided, my New Year's resolution for 2018, is that once a month I am going to watch a movie that everyone thinks I should have seen already.
Oh, I love this.
Yes. I thought you would.
That was a fantastic idea.
And then we can talk about it on the show. I've finally decided to kind of get with it on the movie front. And what I'm hoping our listeners will do is make suggestions along the way, because I haven't sat there and thought, what movie is it going to be for every single month of the year? I think I've got one for January.
Yeah.
I think my January movie is going to be Labyrinth, because I've not seen that.
Sure.
And everybody makes references to that.
Of course.
It has David Bowie in it.
Bowie.
Yeah, it's high time. I see it. But after that, I don't have a roadmap for this. Mm. So I would love it if our listeners would send suggestions my way for movies that I should see. And I'm sure you've got
I've got a bunch lined up right now. Absolutely.
And I'm hoping this could also potentially lead to some more Flopcast movie nights, because those are my favorite.
I think this is a great idea.
Oh, I'm so glad you're on board.
You know what? I would say even forget about Labyrinth. What if you just watch Flash Gordon once a month for the whole year? I just filled your whole calendar right now. You're done. All right, I have a resolution prepared as well.
All right.
I've thought about this quite a bit, and here's what I have, and I'm very sincere when I say Cornflake in 2018. I'm going to try to be sillier. Thank you.
That's a big one, Kevin.
Yeah. All right, this is going to be good. We've got something we have to plug right now, and we hinted at it way back at the beginning of the show, I think, and that's Aresia.
It's coming.
Aresia is coming. This is January 12th through the 15th. Aresia is a big science fiction and fantasy convention in Boston, and they stick it right in the middle of winter to make it uncomfortable. It's at the Westin Boston waterfront. You know that place.
Mm-hmm.
Big hotel down there by the harbor, and we're going to be there.
We might even get snowed in at the rate things have been going this year.
We can only hope.
I've heard that that's happened in Aresia's past.
Oh, sure. There is the occasional blizzard in mid-January. That's not unheard of, right? So why not? There are worse places to be trapped.
I am so excited that this is how we're kicking off our convention year in 2018 with Aresia right in Boston.
Team Flopcast will be there. We will be covering the convention for you and bringing as much as we can of it. To you, I will be there. You will be there,
I'm going to be there.
The mayor of Chickentown will be there. So the whole team, we believe, will be in attendance. And I'm going to be on a couple of panels as well. So I'm going to throw out my panel schedule Saturday morning, 10 a.m. I'm moderating, actually. I'm going to be the moderator of a panel called Serial and Cartoons, Saturday Mornings Revisited.
Perfect.
That sounds like our kind of panel.
Right up our Flopcast alley.
Everybody, try to join us, please, Saturday morning, 10 a.m. for some Saturday morning cartoon talk. That is definitely going to be fun. And here's another fun one, 24 hours later, Sunday morning, 10 a.m., I'm on a panel about Riverdale, the current TV series based on the Archie characters, you know? The panel is called Riverdale, A Great Place to Get Away with It All. And that'll be fun, too. So Riverdale fans, Archie fans of all types, if you're going to be around Sunday morning, 10 a.m., check that out. That is my entire panel schedule, but we will be creeping around all weekend and seeing as much of the convention as we can.
I'm wondering if the Tesseract players are going to be there this year.
Yeah, it could be. The schedule is out. I have not reviewed the whole schedule yet, but you can look up the whole schedule online right now, I believe. Please be there if you can and say hello. We'll have our badge ribbons with us, our Flopcast badge ribbons. So come see us, find us, get a Flopcast badge ribbon, just like you've been dreaming of.
I've been dying to give more of those out.
All right, well, this was our year in review, Cornflake. And, you know, we were hitting our highlights, and what a fun year we had, and what a good year for us. It was a pretty horrible year, though.
All in all.
on a bigger picture. And, of course, we started the year at the Boston Women's March, as did so many friends of ours. We did a whole show about it at the beginning of the year. We try to keep things goofy and light around here, and shall continue to. But, yeah, we know that things are scary and horrible, maybe even more so than we could have imagined a year ago right now. But there's some hints of hope here and there, you know? So we'll do what we can, and hope you guys do too, and we'll keep at it, and we'll get through this.
We're going to have as much fun as we can along the way.
Well, also at the beginning of the year, we quoted that line about being like Princess Leia this year. And, man, we closed out the year with Princess Leia in the new movie, of course, as well. And, yeah, we got to keep that up in 2018, right?
Right. There's no stopping now.
Join the resistance, my friends. Cornflake, get us out of here.
Well, we want to hear from you, Flopcast listeners, and the way that you can reach us here at Chicken Town Studios is by going to our website, flopcast.net. You'll find our email address on that website. You could also find us at facebook.com/flopcast, on Twitter with our handle, at flopcast. Yeah?
That's it?
Yeah. And on the Instagram, the_flopcast.
Yes, yes. All right, Cornflake. Well, here we go. Welcome to 2018. Next week's show will be officially in the new year.
All the way.
We're still in our 90s themed episodes, and you're talking movies as part of your resolution. Next week's show.
Whole lot of movie talk.
Very 90s themed, very movie themed. We'll see you there.
Peace and cookies.
In a world where podcasters talk about the same old pop culture topics, two heroes must rise to bring forth a new era of podcast entertainment. The Cigar Nerds Podcast. Movie reviews, pop culture debates, news, science, and even beer reviews. We're stranger than Stranger Things and funnier than an evil sewer clown. CigarNerdPodcast.com.
We all smoke down here, Georgie.
Greetings, Earthling! I'm Robolod. I'm from Mars, and I eat all kinds of candy bars! What is this? Some Earth fruit? Mmm, it is good! Mmm, it's better than good! It's yummy and not bad! Oh, wait till I tell the other Martians about this! By only eating candy bars, we don't know what we've missed!
Alright, anybody still there? Still with us? Hello! Here's something new for the new year. We're going to try this. This is the secret after show. Welcome.
Yeah. And you made it.
It occurred to us when we do the promo, we like to play a promo for one of the other ESO Network shows or whatever else we happen to play at the end of the show. And then I think I'll bet some people just tune out at that point. And we always throw a little something extra on the very end for people that make it to the bitter end of the show. We're going to try to really step it up this year. Yeah. So welcome to the secret after show.
I'll give you more Flopcast.
Don't tell anybody about this.
Right.
This is only for you people that listen to the very end of the show.
We want you to enjoy this.
Yeah. So we're going to try to bring you some weird extra bonus content right at the end. So for people that are still listening, let's go ahead and tip off the next week's show. We're playing the 90s movie game.
So you can look ahead and get on Wikipedia or whatever and see what movies came out in the 90s and try to guess what my favorite movie was for each year and what Kevin's favorite movie was for each year.
You can
play
idea.
Along with us. You know what? It might be fun if our listeners even have like lists of their favorite things.
I love this idea. This didn't even occur to me. But yeah, if you're listening to the secret after show right now, prepare for the 90s movie game for next week. And you can go back. We did
this for the 80s.
Yeah, early in 2017, we did the 80s movie game. Episode 258 was the 80s movie game, and episode 261 was the 70s movie game. Check out those episodes. And yeah, if you want to play along at home, just write down what your guess is for what our favorite movies are for each year of the 90s and see how you do at home.
You may very well best us both.
I'll bet you will, because I am awful at this game based on the two times we played it last year.
I don't know that I'm going to do so hot for the 90s. The 80s for you were relatively easy to guess. The 90s, there's a few gimmies in there that are evident, but or at least I think they are, but I guess we won't know until next week's show.
I think you're being very humble, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to go down in flames once again next week. But I love this idea that people can play along now. If you listen to the end, you can play along, but don't tell anybody. Remember, this is the secret after show. Don't post it online. Wait till next week's show to share with us what your guesses were.
Secret flopcasting.
So this will be fun. You're part of the secret club now, you people that listen to the whole show. All right, let's get out of here for real now.
Okay.
And I'm already mentally preparing for next week's show, in which I will be, I predict, a huge loser.
Aw, we'll still love you anyway.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.